Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, I've been informed that there were no bills paid last week. So.
God, that's a wonderful week.
You're so fiscally responsible.
I know, you gotta love it when that
happens. Trying to control costs.
So items of note from yesterday, since that was President's Day yesterday, so we didn't have any meetings, so we were off.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 You know, whenever you buy...
Live.
All right. So, yeah, I just wanted to... I'm requesting the approval of an internship with a student from Colorado Mountain College. She's completing her associates in social work. Happy to answer any questions that you have about.
So I guess to start off, the first one is, why do we need to do that?
Okay, sure.
And then I guess the other thing, I've tried to read through all this stuff, so we're not, it's a non-paid position too,
mm-hmm.
as well.
It is, yeah. So there are a number of reasons. It's an asset to the student herself. She has contributed a lot to Route to Work already, to be honest. Colorado Mountain College is a partner for Route to Work. I think continuing to build a relationship with the college as a partner will open up other opportunities in the future between us and with other participants in my program. I take very seriously that it is an asset to the student in developing people, in their careers. So I am taking it seriously as a field mentor also. So,
how about the direct benefit to Rouse County? I mean, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's that line between providing this as a field experience for students fulfilling their degrees, but, you know, it certainly will be an asset. She'll be, I think, particularly helpful in doing outreach, working with participants who have had has an experience that I think would help in that, in ways that I might not be, like she's a different person.
So what actually is she going to do? And then
sure.
Again.
Mm-hmm. So I think that the descriptions in the actual application, in her contract, are pretty good. So she will, this is an associate, so it's not as involved as other degrees, maybe a bachelor's or master's might be. So certainly participation in program activities, we do a step it up and move it up. Right in class right now, we meet monthly, so I'll involve her in some of the program planning and facilitation of activities. Informally, I've created a leadership council, so I'd like her to help in that.
So for the record and the rest, and for the, so
sure.
Redefine again what Route to Work is.
Okay, sure.
We've been participating in it for quite a while.
Right. So Route to Work works with individuals and community partners to address poverty and self-sustainability issues. We work with individuals to accomplish a number of different goals in five aspects of their life. So it might be personal goal, financial, career and employment, family and health. We do that in a number of ways. We have an intensive 7-week class, and then we have a mentor program that we're currently doing. This speaks to some of the asset to Route to Work. We build partnerships with organizations and leaders in the community to really look at poverty in Route County and how do we support families in ways that address things at a root level. How do we provide the wraparound services so that people aren't continuing to face the same struggles?
So we're investing money up front.
We're investing money, resources, psychosocial support, absolutely.
Versus down the road that we're not doing
whatever
and let them build their
hopefully they get a job. Well, and a lot of hopefully they end up with a good job.
No, that's
it's part of it. I mean, it's certainly part of it, and part of that you know very well is working with and understanding what this community needs in bigger ways. What does the business community need? Working with a student through the college is a big, you know, it offers kind of an interesting additional asset to the program. You know, we are trying to develop people so that they are not continuing to struggle putting together 2.5 jobs to reach us, you know, sustainability standards. We need 3.5 times the federal poverty line to meet self-sustainability standards in Round County. So it's certainly relevant, very relevant to the work we already do in Route to Work. I think it builds on the partnerships. I think it will strengthen partnerships. I think she herself, I just was running from a leadership group. She's part of that. I continue to be really impressed by her as individually.
So what's your role and how much time is that going to take out of your job that you're already doing to be supervisor, mentor?
That's a great question. So I'm the program coordinator. I'm the paid lady, working part-time, haven't formally accepted more hours. I'll still be part-time, but we'll be working a little bit more than 20 hours. I suspect that she will, part of my job is to do, to work with participants, to work with coaches and mentors already. I don't believe that it is going to disproportionately change what I'm supposed to be doing in my role anyway. We have right now a small number of coaches because our cohort is a little small, and so I'm thinking, you know, the amount of time I put into this internship, it's fine, you know.
So you are going to have some responsibilities.
I will have some, absolutely.
I mean, you have to be kind of the part teacher or whatever, and potentially have goals and objectives that you want to achieve.
Then
you grade her on that, and then it goes back into her college.
I take very seriously. You know, I met with the assistant district attorney. I'll say the same thing to her as I, you know, to you. I do actually take it quite seriously, being a field mentor. She's not paid, unpaid staff, right? So there is going to be some of my labor, and that is just fine. And that is an asset as far as how does this benefit the county? Well, it benefits our county by developing people.
And again, I'm not pimping you here on this.
Lord,
I just wanted to get some information in the records.
No, I appreciate that.
And again, it's very, I totally support the whole concept.
It's been an itch. And, you know, one thing I think that this will help us to know for the future is if this is what we want to, if we want to build more internships in the future, you know.
I didn't realize that CMC had an associate's of social work and a bachelor's.
I didn't know there were some.
So actually, I'm glad you mentioned that.
BSW and an MSW, yeah.
I'm actually glad you really mentioned that because Sherry pointed it out herself. She said, you know, the county should feel really proud to support this because I'm one of the first social work associates degree from this college campus.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. It is very unique.
Mm-hmm. And presumably the contract was reviewed and approved by our county attorney.
Yep, it sure was. I've gone back and forth several times with the CMC and Sherry. Sent out this contract and sat down with the assistant district attorney.
Assistant
county.
Yeah.
What did I say?
District attorney.
Did I
That's
really?
Yeah. Oh my
God. I love that I said that. I said it twice.
This is not a criminal matter. So.
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad that you should be proud of
I love the idea.
I love that I said that.
Again, I just bought it. I wasn't
it's
trying.
It's fantastic.
But it's good that you...
Yeah, Doug does a good job of making sure we get on the record. And I thought it was great. Yeah, I thought you made a really good description of Route to Work.
Yeah.
In a couple of paragraphs. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Are you ready for a motion?
I don't know what the motion needs to be.
Well, you just signed this agreement.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, tell me and help me to understand the process too. So you sign and then I sign and I can start with her.
What you have. I think it's going to be Doug's turn.
While you guys are working on process, I'm going to get the motion on the record.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve and authorize your signature on a Colorado Mountain College internship contract with Route County on behalf of Route to Work.
Second.
So, and I guess to, in case something else comes up, are we all right that I'll authorize my signature on anything in relationship to this at a later point in time?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we also ought to authorize Beth's signature because she's going to probably be signing the field tracking report. And for her to bring in the timesheet every week, I think is probably, I mean, should we authorize Beth's signature on the timesheets?
Yeah, that's
what's your last name?
Lavely.
Lavely?
Yeah.
Amend the motion to include authorization of Beth Lavely's signature on associated documents.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Yep,
when does she
you.
Start? Is it summer?
Well, as soon as you, I know, so as soon as, okay. We're eager to start. So that was a process question, so... I'm understanding that now that this is assigned, I sign it.
Who from Colorado Mountain College is signing the contract?
Amy Phillips, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that once all the
they
signatures...
Already signed. They signed
it. Oh, they did. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The county...
So you want to make sure
county
the county attorney has a copy of that, and then you're authorized to sign the timesheets.
Okay, perfect. And that is something
and
that you all need to
too,
receive
right?
of the timesheets?
No, I don't need
just, that's a college okay. thing.
Yeah.
Great.
Very good.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you all.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Nice meeting. See you.
Yep.
Come see us again. I've never seen you.
I know. Well, I'm new to town. I'm a new coordinator. I know.
Yeah.
Maybe with the...
But yeah, let us know how this works out.
Yeah.
Get more interns.
Sure. Hey, nice.
Yeah, like it. Thanks so much.
We could have a county commissioner intern. Not a good idea.
No.
Okay.
I was thinking something.
Oh, okay. Let's just stay away from that. Yeah,
yeah let's just leave
let's just stay that
come
way.
On up, you guys.
Come on up. Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Kathy, I guess up to you and lead off here.
Yes. We are here for you to consider to approve a request to reclassify the Road and Bridge Field Coordinator job description to Project Manager and approve a new pay scale for that position. Rick Harris requesting approval to reclassify the Road and Bridge Field Coordinator position to Project Manager. The job description has been modified to include additional responsibilities related to budgeting, capital projects, fleet maintenance, contract management, and grant procurement. The job description has been reviewed and edited by Tom Sullivan and myself. It has also been approved by Dan Weinheimer. Currently, Giovanni Romero is in the field coordinator position. If you approve the reclassification of this position, he will be reclassified accordingly. He currently carries out all the responsibilities of both of these occupations. He's missing one certification, the project manager professional certification, and is expected to acquire the certification within the year. Otherwise, he meets all the project manager job description requirements. Rick is requesting to place Mr. Romero at step one of the new project manager pay scale should it be approved, and to grant an increase to step two upon obtaining the project manager professional certification.
Okay, so back to the certification thing.
Yep.
That's due by when?
1 year.
1 year.
Within the year.
Of now.
Yes.
This year, 2018, or
yes.
1 year from today?
Calendar year from now, from approval.
1 year from today.
Okay, and then again, that's what's happening.
And this is not retroactive to the first of the year?
They would like it to be retroactive to the first of the year.
So then it would be retroactive for the certification to when it's approved. You know,
so now you're making January 1. You're changing the
certification is happening in 2018.
Then it would be a calendar year, yep. If it's retroactive, then it's based on the calendar year when it's approved.
So then he has a year, I mean...
Then now he has 11 months, or 10 and a half.
He has to get it before the end of 2018.
He's got to get it one
which
year from that.
Which is 11 months then.
Correct.
To get it.
A little closer to 10, but... So my only question is, so he'll be at step one of the project manager scale, and all the materials that you have in here show the median more at like 78. So is that what your step six is in the project manager scale?
So, okay. Yeah. So if you looked, I believe, did I not submit to you guys a pay scale?
No. So that's all I wondered. So that's just right in the middle.
Yeah. So that was what I used for the midpoint. So here is... The point was this amount here, okay, which is the hourly wage.
Perfect.
For that, and so he's starting at step one.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you make the motion, you're going to need to include some language about retroactivity.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we approve a reclassification of the road and bridge field coordinator position to a project manager position and approve the pay scale. The position will start at step one of the proposed manager pay scale and be retroactive to January 1 of this year.
Second.
Rick, did you have any comments?
Yeah, I do, actually. Right when I first got here, I was tasked to look at the job descriptions, and one thing that I did notice of Gio was the amount of work that he was performing at a high level. And that, I really did notice that. And part of the task for me was to look at the job description, and I seen that he was definitely doing work out of his classification. And then when this came to me on the project management side of it, I said that was an excellent opportunity to, we don't want to lose employees like Gio. They're hard to come by, and he's showing a great effort and a great aptitude to learn and take initiative by himself without being told. So I just want to get that on the record, and I expect big things from him, and he will be doing big things for the county. So I just want to get that on the record.
Any other comments?
Don't let it go to your head.
Yeah.
I won't.
Hearing no other conversation, so all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Thanks, Gio.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Record. Mics are on.
Well, today we're going to open up with Julie covering the economy, and then I'll jump in relative to the portfolio.
Okay, well, starting on page 3, just a few words about the FOMC. So we have a lot of changes going on at the Fed, and this is definitely affecting interest rates and expected to affect short-term interest rates going forward here. So as you guys all know, we had 3/4-point rate hikes last year. Fed has penciled in 3/4-point rate hikes again for 2018, assuming the economy continues to grow at a solid pace. We have some changes among the Fed. We have a new chairman. So Janet Yellen is no longer our chair. We have Jay Powell, who has voted pretty much in lockstep with Janet Yellen historically. So we're not expecting a big change from him taking over the chairmanship. He is in favor of less regulation than we've seen from Yellen. So some potential changes from that standpoint, but not from interest rate policy. There are some rotations going on among Fed governors that lead us to believe they might take a more hawkish stance, which means more readily inclined, if you will, to raise interest rates given the opportunity. If we look at market participants right now, Fed funds futures are showing about pretty close to 100% probability of a rate hike in March. Another one in June showing about 60% probability, and then it really falls off from there sometime later in the year. We don't really have an inclination at that point.
So is Yellen still on the...
She is not.
So she's not even on the board.
She is not on the board.
She took a job at Brookings Institution.
We have a hostile takeover here, or what was that?
It was President Trump wanting to make his own choice, okay.
And
essentially.
So that was an appointment that came due after so many years?
Yes.
Yeah. He could have reappointed Yellen, but he chose not.
What's the term? It's like, it's an odd term, isn't it? Like 6 or 7 years or something?
It's a long
time. It is a long,
long
time.
Time.
It's six.
Yeah.
Huh.
Right. And so we have a vice chairman who has resigned, Dudley. He'll be cycling out mid-year, so a lot of names are being
resigned
thrown around.
Resigned.
He decided to resign.
And so then
his
Trump,
term was
Trump
about,
will then
anyway.
Have another appointment to replace him
there,
as well.
There are several names being thrown around for that, so it's really hard
so
to tell.
So how many people are on that board?
So
12 total.
Right.
You got to get serious and start listening to CNBC.
No,
right.
I got enough brain
You
damage.
Do so much driving that you need
brain
serious.
Brain damage going on. So.
So there's 12 total, but then there's voting members, non-voting members.
And they're the presidents of the federal banks, correct?
Right.
Three vacancies right now.
Right.
Key.
Seem to be four, right?
Vice chair.
Huh.
So a lot of changes underway. But for now, this is what the outlook is, is looking like for now. But just so you guys know, there's a lot of changes.
Are the presidents of the individual federal banks presidential appointments, or are they filled some other way?
Almost all of them are presidential appointments. There's a vacancy right now. Don't ask me to teach a class on this in the next 10 minutes, but it is voted upon by the members of the FOMC.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
Learning all that stuff you really didn't need to know, but
yeah, as it affects the short-term interest rates, it's good to know right now with a lot of activity. So, Fed's dual mandate is maximum employment and stable prices. So, if we look at page 4, we have pretty much achieved that maximum employment part of the mandate. So job growth here on the left, non-farm payrolls, the last report in January was 200,000 jobs being created. Trend is pretty close to that on a 3- and 6-month basis. Unemployment rate tracking around 4.1%, and underemployment rate has fallen to 8.1%. So all of this is very healthy and has been on a healthy trend for a couple of years now. What has not been following suit is wage growth. So in the January report, we finally had some good news as far as wage growth, 2.9% growth year over year, and we haven't seen a number like that since 2009, I believe. So
where's the labor participation rate at? Is it coming up? Or is it just remaining flat?
Remaining pretty flat. I mean, we'll get a little uptick, a little downtick, here and there.
So no one believes that the labor participation rate is likely to rise significantly in the face of this low unemployment rate? It would stand to reason that labor participation would go up.
I think it has been determined by most economists that it is not a cyclical thing at this point, that it's more structural with the preponderance of baby boomers retiring, just with the shift in demographics and the labor force composition, if you will.
So does the labor participation rate include people that are over the age of 65?
It does not.
That's cut off for the labor participation?
So there's definitely a shift in demographics and dynamic, and it's been pretty historically low for many years.
But it's lower now than it was, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago,
it is.
Correct?
It is, yes. So that's definitely, definitely a factor there, though. Okay, going to the next page, the other part of the mandate.
I have a question back.
Sure.
You said we have, not here, but we've had 4 quarter rate increases, so basically
3 last year. And then
3 more coming this year.
3 coming this year.
So 4 quarters ends up being 1. So
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So okay.
Right. So right. So we're at 1.25 to 1.5. Is that range? Could be up to 2% by the end of 2018, theoretically, if that were to come to fruition.
Hmm.
Right.
Okay.
So quite a shift. from that zero bound.
Well, when was the last time that any of that went up? I mean, it's been
2004, 2005, 2006, like before the financial crisis, we had pretty dramatic quarter point rate hike every meeting. So it went from 3-ish percent up to over 5% very quickly in that time frame. And we ended up, if you'll remember, with a very flat and at a couple times inverted yield curve at that point in time. And that was because that short rate was rising so rapidly. So it was in those 3 years preceding the financial crisis.
And so then after that, then they started reducing the rates during those increments as well to get down to where we are at before we started raising it again?
So at the height of the financial crisis in late 2007, going into 2008, and actually when Lehman crashed in the fall of 2008, that's when the Fed dropped it to zero. So it was not a gradual decline. It was a falling off the cliff to rock bottom down to zero and stayed there for really several years until we started to get back in recovery. The Fed didn't really start raising rates until 2015?
Yeah, December. So
December 2015.
Last year. Right. Just go back an extra month.
And it's been very, very gradual, 15 into 16 and 2017.
That was a hard decade.
Yeah, nobody could earn any interest at all. Hard decade and
yeah,
a
we
lot
didn't
of
have the dust bowl, you know. So hey, we're probably good.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah, we should. That'd be a good chart to have in here, actually, kind of showing a little bit of history.
Yeah,
it's a good question.
Anyhow, go.
Kind of put it in perspective a little bit. So, and it's unclear into 2019. You know, you have differing views whether the Fed will raise it a couple more times, or maybe we start to get into a slowdown of this recovery and start to think about a mild recession in 19 and 20, and then the Fed would stop raising rates and potentially start thinking about, do we need to provide stimulus at some point? So this won't go on forever, but that's kind of the outlook for now. So we talked about employment. Inflation on page 5, that's really been what has not been a green light for the Fed, and a lot of that has been due to the fact that wage growth hasn't come along and has not driven inflation in other parts of the economy. But that is starting to pick up. We did have a better than expected CPI reading that you don't see on here in January, which was year over year the same as what you see here, 2.1% and 1% on the core, but month over month we had some rises that were better than expected. Personal consumption expenditures is the Fed's preferred gauge, and that is still tracking well below 2%. They are looking for a 2% benchmark there, and it's tracking at about 1.5% if you take out the volatile components of food and energy. So looking for some relief there. The consumer on page 6, about 2/3 of the economy, is really what's driving the growth in the economy. Retail sales had a pretty good holiday season, pretty good fourth quarter. Some of this is rebound from the hurricane activity. We had some dislocation in the numbers there due to third quarter hurricane numbers being very disproportionately bad, and then a rebound in fourth quarter, some vehicle sales, vehicle replacements, and things like that. Consumer confidence is extremely strong, historically speaking. If we look on page 7 at some very broad indicators of economic activity, two different indices here, but they're both showing a really nice upward trend and solid growth in the economy that's projected into 2018 here as well. If we look at housing here on page 8, housing starts are volatile from month to month. Overall, pretty good trend, although there's definitely a pretty significant shortage in housing that remains, which is propping up prices, as you see here on the right. Still an upward trend in prices. The top 20 markets are all reporting gains, the strongest being out here in the
West. Why isn't the industry stepping up to meet demand? I mean, it's clear that there's demand out there because prices are going up. What's holding them back?
I think it's just a lag.
It's a lag.
So a lot of the home builders, as you know, really suffered during during the recession, and they're a little slower to come back.
So it's reasonable to assume that we'll see those numbers increase over time.
At some point, over time, yes.
And in certain areas, it's been impossible for builders to find construction workers.
That's
yep.
exactly what's happening
right here.
Yeah.
So
the
that's
the trades haven't found the top end of what they can charge yet.
Yeah.
Right. And
it's more every quarter.
And then they all flocked to the hurricane states, you know, to Florida and Texas to help with those efforts, relief efforts, and that took away from sort of the regular, you know, building as well. On page 9, we can see the manufacturing sector as well in the expansion mode, and production continues to grow. And then on page 10, really all of this amounts to gross domestic product and growth in the overall economy. We had a 2.6% growth in the fourth quarter. That's an advanced number. We'll have two more revisions on that number. Overall, it's looking like 2017 was about 2.3% growth on an annual basis, and we're looking at about 2.5%, a little bit better for 2018 being projected going forward here, really, again, driven by the consumer more so than any other factor. So what is all
this?
So
we're not going to get 4% GDP, huh?
Probably not. Unlikely. We don't live in China, so probably not. So page 11, really kind of bring it back to what does this mean for interest rates and for the portfolio. So we've had a pretty good uptick in rates even since the end of the year in anticipation of more rate hikes from the Fed. Got a strong stock market, obviously, with a lot of volatility. But you can see this brown curve here on the right is the end of January. It's relatively flat. We could see it flatten further as the Fed continues to normalize rates on that short end. To give you some perspective on where we're investing, two-year Treasury's trading at about a 2.22 this morning. We haven't seen a level that high in a very long time. 5-year at about a 2.66, 10-year at 2.90, and the 30-year at 3.17. So
I was asking an ignorant question earlier of Doug, and I'm not sure if he fully explained it to me. As an individual, if I chose to buy a 10-year Treasury note, but then I wanted to get out of it after 2 or 3 years, what's the penalty? What does that look like to an individual when they do that?
It depends on where interest rates are.
So that's, in essence, if interest rates are...
If the 10-year is higher...
Then I'm making money getting out.
No,
the opposite.
You're losing money.
The opposite.
You're going to sell it at a discount.
I'm going to sell it at the original rate.
Right. And if rates are lower, you are going to sell it at a gain, most likely. If rates and 3 years from now, you'll be at the seven-year point on the curve. So more depends on where 7-year treasuries are. But generally speaking, if rates are higher, you're going to take a loss.
Okay.
If rates are lower, you're going to take a gain.
But I would still be getting the headline interest rate.
You'd
that
still
I
be getting exactly yes. Unless the U.S. government defaults, and then we all have
okay,
way bigger problems.
That's what I'm about.
Then, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Then
right.
You, if you hold it to maturity, you take no gain or loss. You just continue to get your interest.
Okay.
Any
so
other?
Before we leave this section here, before we go into the account profile, what did the Trump's tax cuts in there? What is that? What is that doing back to all of the stuff that we're talking about here?
Well, I think it's having a lot of impact on the stock market as far as giving it a tailwind, essentially.
Yeah.
A lot of companies are reporting.
Which then the bonds end up having to compete with the stock market. I mean, you can either invest wherever you want to invest, right?
Right, right. So, you know, we are seeing higher rates, and, you know, when we see a lot of stock market volatility, we'll see a flight to quality sometimes. So we'll see a lot of people rush in and buy treasuries, okay? So
Just because it's safe.
Right, because it's a safe haven, right? So then, you know, you'll see...
So that's your
you'll
comment,
see yield,
flight to quality.
Flight to quality. You'll see yields fall when that occurs because the prices will go up because there's so much demand for treasuries. So, you know, overall, initially, the tax reform looks really good for markets in general. It's going to take some settling in to see how all that shakes out. I mean, for corporate credits, for example, it's really good news. It's good for earnings. It's good for their outlook, at least in the short to medium run.
So when they're borrowing money, then I mean, assume they're still borrowing money at whatever the rate that they
are. Still borrowing,
but they're not. They have less tax income tax on the whole thing,
exactly,
which then allows them to pay bonds off faster and further.
Right. So we don't think we're going to see quite as much demand from companies going forward. I mean, rates are higher, and you know they're repatriating all this cash now because they can do so at a lesser tax rate. So they may not need to come to market as much to issue debt.
So in the short term, less pressure on lending.
Right.
Long term, though, with the deficits, more likely the government's going to be borrowing
exactly
money, and then we'll get the
exactly. I mean, we're already seeing, like, we had a huge, huge supply hit the market in T-bills. Just the last week, and yeah, we're definitely going to see more.
So, what do you say? A huge supply hit the market.
The government,
the rates, the place. Interest rates were at the right place that everybody decided they needed.
No, the government just decided they needed
to borrow some money.
Needed to go borrow paper. Some money.
Oh,
so they issued paper.
Right. So,
well, thank God we have a Republican administration that keeps that deficit down.
Any other questions?
No. I couldn't help but editorialize. I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
We have Elias, do we?
I think they're all bad.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. I'll move on to focus on the portfolio, see the objectives. And our objective is within 2475601, state statute, as well as the Rob County investment policy to equal or exceed the assigned benchmark, and compliance is a significant part of that on page 14 relative to what I was just talking about in terms of state statutes and your investment policy. We have both pre-trade and post-trade compliance for the trades that we, and the trade recommendations we can call in or email to Britta for approval, and you can see it complies with both of those two categories. Page 15, portfolio characteristics. You can see we're fairly short right now, and in this environment that we were just presenting, Julie was just presenting, not a bad place to be relative to price protection when interest rates go up. As we were talking about, the value of your bonds or the price goes down, so the modified duration managed portfolio as of January 31st was 0.84 versus the benchmark modified duration of 0.98. The average market yield, a 186 versus a 182, and the managed portfolio portion total market value as of January 31, $20,278.31. Bless you. And I'll show how that fits into the big picture here in a couple of slides. You can see the sector distribution, agencies versus treasuries, 57.9% and 42.1% treasuries at the end of January. A little bit more detailed breakdown on page 17. As one would expect, AA rating for the source of S&P ratings for this slide on page 18. And this is an important slide, the duration distribution relative to our interest rate discussion on page 19. What this is showing here is that approximately 42% of the portfolio is going to be maturing within the next 6 months, and approximately 60% in the next 12 months. Why is that important? Well, at least on the yield side of the equation, relative to measuring performance, you've got an average yield of those maturities, book yield, purchase yield, if you will, of approximately 1%, and that's an aggregate when I was looking at the portfolio. So we're going to be replacing approximately 42% of this portfolio, assuming we reinvest it in the point of the curve that we think is attractive right now, at yields higher than 2%. So this portfolio is going to have dramatic change just in the next 6 months relative to the yield generation. Because what's happened recently, and this happens every single time, when you have a managed portfolio with a duration that I was talking about around a year, there's a little bit of a lag time to catch up with, for example, a local government investment pool or money market fund that's super short, and it's going to react quickly to these interest rate changes. Then when, let's say that, Julie had mentioned 2019 for recession, and you see interest rates come down, then that's when you see a huge benefit relative to this separately managed accounts versus liquid funds like local investment pools. So it's good to be diversified amongst both of those two categories as the county is relative to the allocation and taking advantage of, and most importantly, diversifying and mitigating the risk as much as possible within the available categories. And then again, I had mentioned about 60% of the portfolio, a significant portion within the next 12 months will be maturing, and again, just slightly above a 1% yield for all those maturities. Then underneath page 20, this is a total return, so it does include those change in prices, even though it's unrealized. We'd see, for example, over the course of 3 months, a significant effect on the prices at 0.04% for the county and negative 0.02% for the two-year held to maturity treasury index. The 12-month at 56 basis points versus 46, and 2 years 62 basis points versus 52. Then on the next page, this really gets back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of the amount we have maturing next 6 months. Got a purchase yield average right now at 130, and again, over the course of the next 6 months to a year, that's going to be probably even a little bit steeper increase there than we're seeing at the very end of that chart in terms of increases for the yield component for the county, for the managed portion. And then a little bit more detailed information on slide 22, the consolidated portfolio. Draw your attention to the middle box, the account summary. So the total as of 10/31 at $34,843,000. Not much of a difference between 10/31 and 1/31 at approximately $34 million, but to be exact, $33,423,85. You can see as of 1/31, there was approximately 33% held in Color Trust and C-Save, with the remainder in primarily CDs and in the managed portion. Right now, C-Save is yielding about a 1.54. Color Trust is at about a 1.62 right now. So they've been real beneficiaries of these rate increases that we've been talking about. Any questions on the portfolio?
So back to your comment that Color Trust, so they're the beneficiaries of these interest rates. Uh-huh. That's by buying the new bond.
There's regulations relative to how they have to manage portfolios, primarily with regard to their maturity structure. And as such, for example, you're managing a 30-day or a 60-day weighted average maturity, you're going to react quickly to rate increases that we've had. Those three rate increases that Julie talked about last year, the one that happened in December prior to that, depending on how the portfolio manager has it structured, he's usually quote-unquote caught up after 30 days, depending on how he has the portfolio structured. And what I mean by that is Fed raises rates 25 basis points, a money market fund, LGIP, Color Trust, CSAFE, has a commensurate increase in 30 to 60 days of 25 basis points, where you've got a lag time with the managed portfolio because you bought securities out further on the curve. And over the course of time, you look back 10 years, this portfolio with the duration as it is, it's
historically speaking, you would be able to find one five-year period, where a money market fund or an LGIP outperformed this type of strategy. But you're going to find periods where the Fed raises rates quickly, like they are right now, where you're looking at a yield that's higher than your managed portfolio. But it always catches up, and historically speaking, has always outperformed.
Any questions? Okay. Always glad to be up here.
Yeah, drive safe.
Well, first day of winter.
So, for all the big lambs hitting the ground.
So when did you say the next recession was going to hit?
2019. Mild.
Sometime in the future.
Mild.
A mild one in 2019. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, she gave me the month of the year on the drive up here, but I can't disclose that.
Not on the microphone and recorder.
Great. Well, thank you.
You don't usually bring us a whole bunch of good news, but you don't bring us a lot of bad news either.
So, acting as chair, I would move that the Board of County Commissioners go into executive session to discuss the pending matter and the that one there with the discussion of matter.
Right there.
You think?
Number one. Because we're not going to record it.
So to further my motion would be for a conference with the county attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on the specific legal questions under CRS 24-6-402, Prince 4, Prince B. And then also, again, be discussing our pending matters list and then also our court litigation claim docket.
Second.
It's exactly 1:02 right now. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Time now is 1:45. We're just leaving the executive session as the session is concluded. Following persons were present during the executive session with legal staff, assistant county manager, and the county manager was on the phone, and the three commissioners. The board limited its discussion to the purpose stated in the motion, which was going through the pending matters list and the what's the second one again?
Litigation docket.
The litigation docket. The board limited its discussion to the purpose stated in the motion to go into executive session, and no formal action was taken. Okay.
Can you drive a
2:00 agenda item of the abatement, the consideration to approve or deny the following petition for abatement for and a refund of taxes. Gary, go ahead.
Okay, this is a gravel pit production account. Account number is C as in cat 0035243, known as the King Mountain Gravel Pit. This property account, the gravel pit itself was sold in late 2015. Deed came across for the surface and the mineral accounts were listed on the transfer deed. Our office did not make the connection that there is a special use permit associated with that surface and thus a production account related to the gravel pit.
Actually, I don't think there is a special use permit there.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, yeah.
No, there's actually a little one-page, one-paragraph special use permit.
Oh, is that right?
Okay, I know it's grandfathered in.
It's really old, but it is. So, it was identified as a special use permit.
So... my office did not make that connection that there's a third account or fourth account associated with this deed that should have been transferred. So all the notices of valuation were going to a Denver address when it's a local address now, a local owner. Therefore, proper notice for the tax years listed above were never given to the new owners assigning a valuation on, or assessment on their production. And the account was notorious with the previous owner of not returning a declaration to us of their production. So we had several years going back 15 years where no declaration was received. We would put a BIA or best information available on it. And what my appraiser Kathy did for these years under abatement today, where you see $102,000, $264,000, those were the highest years of reported production that we did have on the account. So trying to get the attention of the owner for not turning in a deck, she put this very big value on the on these tax years. Since then, we've had the new owner come into us. They've been cooperative. They've shared their production information. They've filled out the declaration forms for these years. And we sent them a new special notice of value, properly notify them of their assessment for these tax years. And so now we are trying to correct the account from the best information available, inflated, get your attention value, to what they are reporting to us as their realistic production numbers for the three tax years stated.
Why is there such a difference in the best information available amounts of $102,000 for 2016 and then $264,000 for 2017?
I think she went back and when two or three years of not getting anything and having that one number on it, found a production year of $264,000.
And you chose the highest because you wanted to get the landowner's notice.
Yes.
But they chose the lower one for 1 year and the higher one for another
year. Yeah, and I can't answer exactly why she had those numbers, but that's my guess is kind of how that came to be.
So these guys didn't pay these taxes.
No, these taxes have not been paid.
We're just cleaning up the record so we credited him back out. So that,
yeah.
They will need to pay the new lower amount, correct?
He will have to, yes. And he's received a tax bill on these, I believe, already. And he's aware of what they are. He's actually tried to pay him with Britta a couple times, and she won't accept his check because it's not a certified check because the account is delinquent. Is one of the reasons. The second one was the interest. She's trying to go back and collect a whole bunch of interest, and that's my argument that, or my discussion I need to have with Britta this week.
You're up, Jim.
Mr. Chairman, in the matter of account number C0035243, production account for King Mountain Gravel, I move to approve a reduction in value for 2015 from $102,020 $2,000, resulting in a refund of taxes in the amount of $1,910.44. Do I have that?
No,
three
different ones. So it wasn't $2,000 either. So it was the amount was $1,948.64.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is
17.
There's 2015, 16, and 17.
Are we making three separate motions?
No, we can.
Okay.
All
okay.
Should be able to read it verbatim.
Yeah, I'm reading it right off of.
Yeah. The value reduces from $102,020 to $2,000.
Yeah.
Resulting in the.
So, but it isn't $2,000. It's 1948.64.
No, that's the taxes. The value drops from 102
to $2,000, resulting in a refund of 1910.44
for 2015.
It's 26,000 for the 2005. It's 26.
No, it's right.
It's right.
That was assessed 29, 102 to 2.
Okay.
This is that.
And then it's,
so there's three.
So you're looking at these.
So we're doing 3 years here, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I'll start over again.
It's actual 102 to 2000 results in a refund.
I think it does match. Okay.
Yeah, I think it does too.
Okay. So I'll start over again, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to make three motions. The first one is to for the year 2015 approve a reduction in value from $102,020 to $2,000, resulting in a refund of taxes in the amount of $1,910.44. And for tax year 2016, approve a reduction in value from $102,020 to $2,330, resulting in a refund of taxes in the amount of $1,992.60. And for tax year 2017, approve a reduction in value from $264,560 to $7,490, resulting in a refund of taxes in the amount of $5,170.04.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Very good. Thank you.
And I've been in discussions with Chad Phillips about, you know, these renewables.
Good afternoon.
So we got agenda item purchasing some new pack sets, portable radios.
We are requesting consideration to waive the formal bid process to purchase 14 portable radios, pack sets for the sheriff's office. And just a summary, I know we've had this discussion numerous times before, but what we're doing is we're replacing VHF and 800 existing VHF and 800 radios that the sheriff's office has. So what our plan is, those existing radios will be deferred deletions. Some of the VHF radios are at the end of life and not serviceable, so we're going to be discarding, selling, disposing of them if they're still serviceable. And then the 800 radios are all still serviceable, so we're going to do deferred deletions on those. That's our plan. We originally thought that we were only going to be able to get 13, but we're going to be able to get 14 due to the pricing. So what you see here, what we're asking for is, in that budget, there is $63,076 available for replacements, and we're asking for $61,039.58. What else is important here?
$84 for a charger. Wow, what a deal, Motorola.
So you did, I think you told us before, you did price out the Harris as
yes,
well.
Yes, we did.
And so we were still waiving the formal bid process, but you did get quotes on the same radios with Harris. Is that correct?
Comparable radio, yes. And these ended up being right at $60 package for the radio, the charger, and the speaker microphone, less than the Harris, comparable Harris radio. So I felt very confident moving forward after doing demos. We started that process in October. All the fire districts utilized them. The sheriff's office utilized them. A couple of police departments utilized them. I did some surveys with them, asked questions, concerns. Are we doing the right thing? The end result is everybody recommended we needed to stay with Motorola based on we have the service, we have our system set up, we can do programming, we can do basic service and support here, and we know what we get with them. And in the end, they ended up being cheaper than the Harris radio. So that's our recommendation moving forward, at least.
I'm good.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that we waive the formal bid process and authorize the county manager or deputy county manager to sign the purchase order for the purchase of 14 Motorola multiband pack sets.
Second.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Thank you.
So I've got a question for you. Looking at the CLEF budget,
I would move, acting as the chair, move that the Board of County Commissioners go into executive session to discuss a annual performance review with our county attorney, and specifically for discussion of personnel matter under CRS Section 24-6-402, Prince 4, Prince F, Prince I, and Prince I-2. and it would be involving our county attorney, and that we will keep a separate tape of it, correct?
Second.
And it is, right now, it is 1:37.
2:37.
2:37, yeah.
Unless you're in LA.
Yeah. Okay, it's 3:15. We just got out of our executive session with the personnel review with our county attorney, and no decisions were made during our review.
Meaning I still have a job.
I was going to say, you're still working.
Yeah.